To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, a podcast dedicated to all that crap we love to talk about on ye old broms. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks podcast. I know it's a mouthful. And the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. And I'm with my little bestie and my little mate for podcasting life, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side blog and the Banta Blender.
We're like two albatrosses.
Girl, after just watching the end of We're Two Albatrosses, that's the least romantic thing I've ever heard in my life, actually.
Maybe if you were watching Planet Earth, you would have a little tear in your eye with the beauty of what I just said. But obviously you're not. You still have not watched it, despite my greatest pleas. And you don't get the albatross references. The albatross has like a buddy, a fuck buddy, basically. The albatross sits there and just waits for the other albatross to come. Literally, every year they hang out at the same tree and they do it.
Oh, wow. Well, this got awkward quick.
We're albatrossing on the podcast right now.
Well, I've always heard, you're an albatross around my neck, Carl.
Yeah.
Whatever. So that's what I think of. I didn't think of it in a romantic way.
Well, that's because the albatross around the albatross, whatever, the burden, that is actually a reference to a famous poem called The Ancient Mariner about a guy who kills an albatross who's trailing his ship. And albatrosses are considered to be good luck to sailors on the sea. And when he kills the ship, when he kills the albatross, all sorts of terrible things start to happen to his ship. And in the end, it's like the guilt of that albatross is what follows him to his death as his ship is shipwrecked.
Oh my
God.
That's
the tale of the Ancient Mariner, and that's why people say it's like an albatross.
Wow, so don't say you never learned anything from us.
Yeah, look at that. We just start off with some nature history, with some literary history. You know what this means? It means we're doing a late night podcast, Ronnie.
Yes, and for you it's really late. I mean, I just watched 3 hours of The Bachelor, so my head is still spinning from all the woo, because it's a live one, so it's just like a whole bunch of homely women wooing for 3 hours.
The woo girls.
Yes, the wooing, woo girls wooing loudly. And you are still in New York, and so it's like, what, 2 a.m. over there? 1 a.m? What, 2?
It's 2:15, and the reason why we're doing a late night podcast is because a nor'easter is blowing into town, and where my parents live, a crow sits on a tree branch, and basically we lose power. So I was concerned that we would lose power tomorrow when we do our podcasting. And the last thing we want is for the people to go without a Vanderpump Rules recap.
Yeah, especially an episode that starts with 10 days to the wedding.
Wait, did Sheena actually say that, or was it just written on the screen?
No,
I think
was written on the screen. But whenever something's written on the screen, I say it in my head in Sheena voice.
Because she's probably the one operating the Chiron machine, be like, 10 days to the wedding.
You know that Sheena sits at home and reads those out loud to herself.
10 days to the wedding. Right, there's Shay?
And then she looks at the printed canvas of Shay looking away from her.
there's a day for every single cocktail on the menu.
I think I'm going to just try one of each of the prime cocktails.
Did you notice that she had a different print to canvas today? It seemed like there was a different, a bigger one, an even bigger one staring at her.
Well, there are two theories. One, that she might have a seasonal collection, and so she rotates them in as the seasons change. And two, as she suspects that Shay is drifting away, she puts a bigger and bigger printed canvas, hoping to woo him back from the studio. She's this, like, alleged, this quote-unquote studio.
Look, Shay, look at the printed canvas. You're even farther away from me now.
She's just cropped herself bigger.
Now you can't forget me even more, because I'm bigger, Shay.
It's not like he's going to leave. Just me sitting here alone with these printed canvases staring at me while I watch TV and read the chyrons.
When I want Shay, what I do is I shine a light on the printed canvas and then aim it a mirror too, so that way a picture of Shay shows up in the clouds like Batman. Shay Man.
That's so much for Sheena to think.
Well, actually, I can imagine her holding up a mirror to the printed canvas, thinking that it would reflect into the sky, and there's no reason why it would ever reflect anywhere except into the mirror. She's a fucking idiot. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, she stands like in front of a mirror with another mirror behind her, and she's like, "Oh my god, look how much hair I have!" It's
like, goes Shay, on for look infinity. At us in the clouds, Shay. Oh, all of us can see.
So we start off with Tom, bro, playing the trumpet, learning the funeral trumpet for Katie to walk down the aisle to.
It looked like a small French horn, specifically, but I don't know exactly what it was. But it was brass.
Katie, bro, walk faster, bro.
Is that what he was playing? I just was like, no. To me, it just sounded like a random collection of notes.
Yeah, I think he just found that somewhere. Was like,
I really like expanding my horizons, bro.
And then Jax comes in and he's like, "Your poor, poor neighbors." And Tom's like,
"They love me, dude. Come on."
And then he made a horse sound. He's like,
"Look, this is the song I played every time Horseface number one came home."
On the horn.
Seriously? Seriously? That's beautiful.
Seriously, I'm a totally different Horseface now. How could you?
Why does that sound make me want to mate?
With your best friend.
Yeah.
On this couch. Faith now owns. Faith, Jax, you know that Faith is still walking around with that used ass couch. Like, something smells in here. You know, she's like cleaned her baseboards, cleaned her ceiling, cleaned out the fireplace. She's like, what is it?
Where is Faith? Has she been demoted to Villa Blanca, or even worse, sent off to the Vanderpump afterlife known as Cleo?
She died of consumption from that used ass couch.
Never mention Faith again, darling.
She's in the upside down, which is what we call what's underneath the couch.
So let's see. They talk about how Schwartz is really close to his triplet brothers.
They're not coming to the wedding.
Poor Tom's family. No one's coming to his wedding.
Wait, I just want to clarify something.
Yeah. We have to come clean on this one.
So I don't remember if it was you or me. It was probably me. I think someone told us that he was a trust fund baby, okay?
Yeah, and someone posted it on our Facebook, okay?
Without really doing any, putting much thought into it, we were like, yeah, we heard that he's a trust fund baby. And it was like a passing thing. And ever since then, people keep on tweeting at us or messaging us being like, we don't think he has money. He doesn't have any money. And now after this episode, they're like, if you saw this episode, you see they really don't have any money. So he's not a trust fund at all. No, he's not. Like, okay. So yeah,
don't read. We've learned not to read too much gossip on Facebook on the actual show. Because another thing was that Stassi was saying racist things on her podcast. And someone tweeted at us, that is not true. You guys need to get your facts straight before you go off blabbing on the, you know, and they were nice about it or whatever. But I was like, well, I mean, what's getting our facts straight? Like, how much research do we have to do? Someone posted it on Facebook, and then we repeated it.
You know what? But
what else do news people do? What did Barbara Walters do?
We're just a podcast. But that being said, there is something that we did get right. Okay. And this is you, Ronna. You got the scoop on this 4 weeks ago.
Oh.
You announced on this podcast and on our social media platforms that Megan King Edmonds was joining the Real Housewives of Orange County because you got the scoop from this old queen at a bar. Yeah.
Our good old source, old queen in a bar.
So you put it up there, and like, it didn't make a ripple in pop culture. And then the Dirty which I don't really have an issue with, but thedirty.com, they go out there yesterday and are like, we have just found out exclusively that Megan King Edmonds is coming back to Real Housewives of Orange County. I'm like, that's fine. I don't mind if you report on it, but don't act like you found out exclusively. We have, it's been sitting up there in plain view for a month.
Yes,
what is going
has.
On here, people?
Always trust old Queen in a bar. He hasn't been wrong once.
Yeah.
He's given us a lot of dirt. But that said, Tom being a trust fund baby, okay, that did not come from old Queen in a bar. That came from Facebook. So blame Zuckerberg. Okay,
yeah,
guys?
Zuckerberg. Fake news, fake news.
Yeah, blame him. But so, the stuff about Stassi saying racist stuff, I mean, that's debatable. I read it because there was a blog post
about
it.
Yeah, what did she say? I didn't actually bother to.
The reason I even read it was because during The Bachelor, I was going through Twitter, and Ariana and Stassi are fighting on Twitter right now. And you know, I'm not reading Twitter right now. I'm just paraphrasing as we do. But basically, Stassi's like, well, if your podcast was a success, then maybe you'd know what it was like to make a few mistakes or something. And Ariana's like, whatever, hun. And you know Ariana's really hating you when she uses words like hun, because that's like not in her vernacular. But she's like, whatever, honey.
Yeah.
If you don't want to answer your question, don't ask it, honey, or something. So I click the link to the blog, and it's on, I think the blog is like, oh, no, she didn't. And it's quoting Stassi's podcast that she had with Steven from Summer House. And they're basically bitching about Oscar's so white. And she's like, why is it that, like, black people get so mad, but you don't see, like, Asian people? Like, where's the Asian people? And, like, I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, just basically. And she said, and she says
the classic
on the rant
of a sheltered woman. Yes,
yes,
go on.
And she says in the monologue or whatever, she's like, I mean, I know, like, I'm a pretty 28 white privileged girl. So, like, whatever. So, like, just unfollow me or whatever. But still. So, I mean, yeah, it wasn't racist,
maybe,
but
maybe not racist, maybe just like tone deaf, naive. Yeah. I think people sometimes it's like I think you have to have the problem is sometimes things are just said poorly or they're stupid or uninformed. It doesn't mean it's automatically racist. It just has shades of racism to it. But it doesn't. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's just racially biased. Or uninformed or sheltered, because there are actually a lot of Asian voices that are like, what about us? And there's a lot of just brown voices in general. So,
brown Stassi, voices
in general, BVIG. So, speaking of brown things, let's talk about the
Jax.
Turds.
Let's talk about Jax.
Yes. Let's talk about the turds on this show. So Jax is talking about how you never know what's going to happen when you show up in Tom Sandoval's apartment. Because one time he showed up and Tom Sandoval was giving a deep cleaning to his Super Nintendo, which I didn't know if that was a euphemism for anything, but kind of sounded fun.
I feel like Jax is the only friend of his friend circle that doesn't do shit like that when he's high on coke. It's like he shares his coke with everybody, and he's like, why are they cleaning so much? Well, not everybody is just used to it, okay? That's how it affects normal people, Jax. It's like not a morning vitamin. He's like, what?
So we learn a little bit about Tom Schwartz's family. I think we had heard at some point that he has triplet brothers, but this is when we learn a lot more about them. Basically, Schwartz has triplet brothers, who they can't make it to the wedding because they basically they just don't have the money to fly to this Wednesday wedding, take off work to
they
go to
a Wednesday
wedding.
They live in their parents' house in the same room, and even Jax is like, they're unique, special individuals.
Now, I wasn't sure about the same room. I wasn't sure if he was just making a joke at that point, but he did say that the triplets live in Yulee, Florida with the parents.
Well,
and
I don't think he was joking because later he was like, now, these guys all share one pay-as-you-go cell phone, so
yeah.
It's kind of difficult to plan things with them.
Yeah, and they have a weird way to respond to things. They're sort of like, it's like the essence of Tom Schwartz distilled into a few words. So basically, Tom Sandoval and Jax decide that they're going to fly these triplets out as a surprise to Schwartz. So they call them up, and the guy, one of the triplets is like, oh! And that's sort of the way he responds to everything. Like, hey, how's it going? Oh.
Whoa. Wow. Oh. I thought this thing was ringing and it. Whoa. There's someone here. Hey, guys, there's someone here. Daryl.
Looks like someone paid the bill.
Daryl. come on over here. Is that from Newhart? This is my brother, Daryl. My other brother, Daryl.
Daryl. Daryl and Daryl. And then introducing Daryl. So Sandoval's like, yeah, man, we want to surprise him. And then the triplet's like, oh, is this a surprise thing? Like, this is not going to work out.
He's like, yeah, bro, it's a surprise.
Should I call him and talk to him about anything? No, dude, it's a surprise. All right, so I'll email him?
No, bro.
Should I put on Instagram when we're on the flight?
No.
So is this happening in Surprise, Florida? Because that's just down the street.
No, man.
So this is taking place in, Paris, right? Paris, Texas?
No, bro. No one okay. even said Paris. They're not even going to go to Paris. Where'd you get all that? Right.
So let's see if we got this right. We're going to get on the plane, fly direct to Turkmenistan, and then wait for you to pick us up.
Turkmenistan? Where do you even get that from? I don't even know what that is.
No, we have a friend named Turkman, and his brother's name is Stan, so we call their house Turkmenistan. Is that a country also?
Whoa. All right, just make sure you get a ticket for Daryl, and a ticket for Daryl, and a ticket for Daryl.
Got it. Do you guys have IDs?
You know these guys don't have IDs.
Well, they all had the same name because you know that like their parents had like triple vision when they were born. Or it took them about 6 months to realize there were actually three unique boys. And all Daryl, they're Daryl. Yours is like, what's this one's name? Daryl. What about this one? Daryl, man. What about this one? Oh, Daryl again. Why do you bring Daryl over here?
It does explain so much, though, about poor Schwartz. It's like he just wants to be left alone, you know? It's like, yeah, Bubba, okay, just leave me alone, Bubba. So eight days
until the wedding.
Good.
So, good days.
Good. How are you?
So now it's time for bridesmaids fittings. So the girls are trying on their dresses. And Brittany, oh my God, I was just cracking up because she just goes right up to Horseface, aka Kristen, and she's like, "So you hear that Tom Schwartz's triplet brothers are all coming because Tom and Jax are gonna fly them out. Was that a surprise? Oops, guess I shouldn't have told you."
And she's like, "What?" Of course, Kristen acts like that's the biggest surprise ever. Even later in the episode when she's talking to Carter, she's like, "Carter, you're not gonna believe this. Tom is bringing out his triplet bread. So you're in your apartment."
They're spying on the microwaves.
I don't want Alexa to hear. Whisper.
Alexa, stop listening to me.
So Katie arrives with Stassi and Sheena, and she's like, yeah, you know, like getting married, it's really difficult finding a dress that is equally as ugly on all of my bridesmaids. It was really hard, but I'm going to look really good.
Here are some leftover options for my bridal shower.
She's like, here's everything left from those burlap gifts I gave you for the bridal thank you lunch or whatever the fuck that was.
It's woodsy elegant, so you should just all be happy you're not wearing leaves and sticks.
And meanwhile, the boys are off at that one little spot at the Grove they always hang out at. Upstairs is mixology, and downstairs downstairs is the candy Dylan's store.
Candies. I think they've been there before, right? Didn't they go there at one time? I think they went there earlier in the season, right, to consult about the wedding?
Girl, they'll shoot anywhere on that block.
Yeah.
They're like, they won't cross the street. Look at this silver tiger. Let's pose in front of it. What's that store? It's like fine art.
No, it's still on top. Oh, Tashin. Yeah. There's also, it's funny because it really is only that like one little section that they go into. It's like, hey, do you want to go to Marmalade across the street? No, we cannot leave the island.
Bro, I'm glad we could have this conversation at the American Girl doll store. But if we could just walk over to Mixology 101 or Dylan's Candy Bar, I'd feel a lot more comfortable. I feel like I'm a foreigner in a foreign land.
So basically, we know what Block Muhammad owns of the Grove.
So the guys are in there. They're buying candy for the wedding favors for the wedding. And so they're just kind of filling their little bags up with all sorts of stuff. And it was actually really funny and really cute. And I loved how Tom Sandoval hates candy corns. He got so mad at Jax for filling his bag with them.
Yeah, he's like, dude, bang my girlfriend, but don't give me candy corn.
Jax is like, it's the quintessential Halloween treat.
And poor Schwartz is like, well, picking the candy is like the only thing I got to do for this wedding, so it means a lot to me. Gummy worms?
No, bro! Bro!
So AF returns as Stassi enters the bridal store, and she's like, oh my god, like, I've been wanting to date, but I'm staying single AF for this wedding, because single bachelors AF at weddings AF.
Yeah, and also you probably couldn't find anyone who's going to drive 9 hours up to Lake Tahoe for this stupid wedding on a Wednesday, taking up work to go on a date with you.
The girls start asking about therapy, like if they how their therapy's been going and stuff, which is what you always talk about with people when you're trying on your bridesmaids' dresses, you know?
And then Sheena Dubois. Like, yeah.
And then Sheena's like, oh, yeah, like, therapy, it just depends on your relationship. Like, Shay and I went once, and that's all we needed.
We learned how to communicate, and now we're done. Now we're set. See, now I just say things, and Shay says, okay, and then we're set. Good.
And then he doesn't come home for a week, and I'm like, okay, AF.
But I'm really excited, because he's going to write a really good backing track for me. He says it's special. It's something about, like, I'm leaving you. I don't know. It's sort of a down sort of theme, but I'm into it.
He's remaking my favorite song, Bye Bye Bye.
he's remaking my favorite Gloria Estefan song, Go Away. I like it.
Stupid Sheena, poor thing. I feel bad. Poor Sheena. Although her boyfriend now is really hot and I hear married.
Well, good for her.
And guess where I learned that? Facebook. So everybody just calm down, okay?
Yeah. Oh, you're about to get some tweets. We have some ombudsmen on our Twitter account, and they are ready to correct us.
Our dramaturgs. Well, please do correct us, because it's how we learn things, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, we're like animals.
We could just make up anything, and then you guys prove us right or wrong.
Yeah, that's the way. We're like a living
bullshit.
Something.
I hear that Sheena is half dolphin. Okay, prove it wrong. Go Twitter.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. Prove us wrong on that one, actually. That's going to be a little challenging. So over at Sir, Katie tells Jax that Jax is there, like, wiping down the bar, and Katie and Sheena walk over, and Katie tells Jax that, you know, she went on a little day night with Tom the night before, and she's like, yeah, I'm really feeling like a shift in Tom. I just think it's like a shift for the better. And it's just like, you know, we just like can't be like fighting about the same stuff as always. And then Sheena chimes in and she's like, yeah, you know, as shitty as our first year of marriage was, I'm like better now than 10 years down the line with a couple of kids, you know? I'm like, oh my God, Sheena.
Speaking of kids, don't worry, I'm not pregnant yet, but like I'm ready to go to fertility doctors. Because like naturally buying a house and getting kids are the next step, you know? And I'll do whatever I have to do to get pregnant with kids.
It's like, I'm a planner. That's why I plan to spend 15 years of my life as a waitress.
I'm a planter. That's why I plan on planting children and waiting till they grow.
I'm a planter. That's why I always walk around with a little monocle and a top hat and a cane.
And Jax is like, I'm pretty sure Shay has to be in the same room to have a kid. But,
yeah. No, he doesn't.
She actually said, specifically, she said, I've been married for 2 years now, so obviously buying a house and kids is the next step in our relationship. I'm like, well, maybe that's the problem. You want to buy kids.
Well, in LA, what else do you do?
That's
true. She's supposed to stretch out her body? How's she supposed to wait tables? Very important job.
So then they're like, where is Shay? And she's like, oh, well, you know, he's been working on something special for me in the studio. I'm not worried.
Yeah, guys, you know, like, I really know how Stassi feels now. Like, I really know what it's like to feel like a fifth wheel.
I'm like, actually, a fifth wheel is kind of useful. I don't think anybody would ever accuse you of that. It's like, wow, yes. Sheena's made this ride even more stable on the freeway. No, that's never going to happen.
But there is a little bit more drag. So in a strange turn of events, Lisa Vanderpump shows up at the restaurant on a horse. I'm like, wow, you're really rubbing it in Ariana. Ariana has one moment with a horse, and Lisa's like, no, I have to be the dominant animal bearer.
I'm on a horse AF, tell Ariana.
My horse is still alive for 45 years, Ariana. How's that feel?
I was on my way to work today, and I saw two horses. This is why I love West Hollywood. It's an air of mystery and surprise, and horse faces are celebrated.
This is why I love West Hollywood. There's so much beauty and whimsy and surprise that people are like, get off our horse, lady. We're trying to get it to the car.
Yeah, they're like, we need to have our horses so we can get away from that drag queen peeing behind your restaurant.
Magical.
They're like, we'd like to report a lady who stole our horse. She said something about whimsy.
She's like, look over there at that woman peeing standing up. If that's not magical, I don't know what is, West Hollywood.
Listen to that Robin remix blasting out of Motherlode. If that's not whimsy, I don't know what is. Mystery.
So she goes inside, and to prove she's working, you know, she's like,
yes.
Excuse me, waitress lady. Come here to me. Is that how high we pour the sangria? Did you pour that?
She's like, no, Jack's dead. She's like,
sir gives the best pour in town. Pour it sexier.
My cuff ruffles are getting angrier at the second at that small pour.
She literally said, pour it sexier. Good
Lord. No, she goes over to Jack's and she says, make it look sexier. I'm like, it's a glass of sangria with a floating strawberry slice in it.
It looks like rotting bloody fruit in a glass. There's no sex in that up, lady, okay?
It looks like a strawberry committed suicide in that wine glass.
Totally. So Jax is like, hey, have you heard what Sheena's up to lately? Because she's doing a re-Myrtle, you know?
She's like, re-Myrtle? What happened to the original Myrtle? Was she a waitress or a hostess? You know,
where you freeze your eggs.
Oh, fertilization.
Yeah.
Horses love fertilizer. Speaking of, I've got two new ones outside. Is Ariana around?
We need to start training them to serve people. So then Jax is
finally, I found a couple who can pronounce Chilean. They're outside in the horses. Bring them in.
The horse is like, I'm sorry that not everyone can be as attractive as us. She's like, they're perfect.
Sorry, we can't all be models. Yeah.
So then Jax tells Lisa that he thinks something's up with Shay because he's never around and it's weird. And he goes, I've always said that she can do better, as in Sheena. I've always said that she can do better, but I've kept my mouth shut. I'm like, well, which is it? You've always said it or you've kept your mouth shut, Jax? Oh, harping really on semantics.
Yeah, you can't do that with these people. But then again, you kind of have to, because that's how the truth comes out, especially with Jax. He doesn't even mean to tell the truth half the time. He just, you know, miswords things.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
She's like, darling, you have to understand. It's not my business until she makes it my business.
Really?
Speaking of which, this is my business. Get back to work. Wipe down those olives.
HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient.
That's right. Each week, HelloFresh creates new, delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone, from novices to seasoned home cooks, short on time.
HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed, so there's no food waste.
Yeah, they employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it is nutritionally balanced.
And unlike Katie's wedding cake, it is delivered to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free.
And I guarantee the HelloFresh would have been a better food option than whatever they get at their wedding. I guarantee it. They should have had HelloFresh at their wedding.
Yeah, HelloFresh should have just catered this shit. Everyone gets their own little insulated boxes. They can even cook it themselves because God knows who those two are going to hire.
You know, actually, what's actually funny is that I'm in New York right now, and this like blizzard of the century is bearing down on us. And my friend got a HelloFresh box in anticipation, and she put it on Instagram. She's like, it's a blizzard. I've got my HelloFresh box. I am set. That's not a lie. That actually happened.
Hell yeah. We actually use HelloFresh and love it. And a lot of you have started using it and love it. We always know when something that we're talking about is working because you guys tweet us about it.
Yeah.
And that's been really rad. You know, it's like so people who really like to cook, but don't have time to go find all those special ingredients. This stuff is already portioned for you. It's stuff you wouldn't normally buy, a lot of it. And it's fantastic.
You know how I always talk about how HelloFresh changed pork chops for me, and I made the pork chops because I came to New York, so I had three left over, so I gave them to my boyfriend, and he said he ate all three in one sitting because they were so good.
Yeah.
Thanks, HelloFresh.
Yeah, they're delicious.
You fed my boyfriend.
So for $35 off of your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter code Crappins when you subscribe.
35. Crappins35 is our code.
Oh, yeah. Crappins35 because you get $35 off your first week of deliveries.
Darling, visit HelloFresh.com and enter Crappins35.
So Stassi's like, my friends keep telling me I need a pick-me-up. So I'm going to do a photo shoot called How Stassi Got Her Groove Back. Like, girl, if you're going to do that photo shoot, you need to go to Patrick's house and throw his shit on the lawn and do it right.
I know. You know what? Just go to Solar de Cuenca and eat a crepe. That'll make you feel better. Or the Abbey. Go to the Abbey. All the gays will fawn. Wouldn't it be fun if we went to the Abbey with Stassi?
Hell yeah.
We would be the coolest gays.
Come to the Abbey with us. We'll put like one of those bridesmaids, you know, what do you call them? Those flowy things that they wear in the wedding. The veil.
Yeah,
we'll put a bridesmaid veil on you, and then you could walk in there and everybody would be like, what?
Yeah, we actually need to go to the Abbey with Stassi. The reason why is this, because we don't look like those like really pretty gays. So Stassi would give us cred in terms of because we'd be hanging with like a sort of famous person. And then Stassi needs us to be there because we're going to help her get a groove back just by being gay and being around her.
Just by being two gays.
Girl, you look so good. You look hot right now.
Yeah, I have no groove to give. But I will go to IHOP with you. We can get our groove back there. It's always worked for me.
Astro. Yeah, or Solar de Cuenca.
But instead of all those good ideas, she's doing a nudie shoot. She's doing a boudoir shoot for herself.
Yeah. It's no Abbey with us or IHOP with us. Stassi is she's really happy that she's best friends with Katie again.
Katie comes in to shit all over the place. She's like, oh, hey, so you're doing a nude photo shoot? Yeah. Have you written your vows yet? No, I think like Tom's are going to be better than mine. She's like, yeah, Tom's are probably going to be better. Is there anything else you wanted? Because I'm getting my groove back right now, AF. So
groove AF. It's not in the heart.
And she's like, yeah, I mean, remember that time? Like, it seemed like we would never get married. And like, I mean, it's happening. I mean, to you, not me. So there's that. But yeah,
I mean, I'm the bitch here standing in a see-through outfit trying to get a guy. But, you know, good for you. You're getting married.
But yeah, I'm really happy for you. So are we done here? Because if I stand here longer, I'm going to need like a pashmina or something. This is like feeling weird.
The longer you stand here, the more I want to have ranch dressing, and that's a problem because I'm naked right now in front of people.
Katie's like, what? It's how I got my groove back. She's like, yes, Katie. We all have our ways, okay? Leave. So back over at Sir, Lisa's checking on tables. Hello! How are you? Everyone okay? Everyone okay, darling?
Cuff, ruffle, shake. She always has, for some reason on this show, a lot, she always has these big, ruffly cuffs.
Yeah, she loves a clown cuff. Yeah. Well, she wears those big.
Am I right, everyone? Hello, welcome to Circus. That is Sir. You can't say Circus without Sir.
Well, she wears those big sun hats so people won't hug her. So maybe she wears those like big round cuffs so people can't like hold her hand for too long. You know? She's basically like, just here to say hi. Don't touch me. Thank you. Goodbye.
I'm wearing a snapdragon around my wrist.
So let's see. Brittany.
So Brittany tells Jax.
Are you doing all right? Are the sangrias high enough today, Jax? And Brittany comes over and she's like,
I was talking to Kristen and we were talking about who's walking down the aisle with who. And I said, well, who's going to get Tom's three triplet brothers? He's like, God damn it. Why would you tell that to Kristen? She has a bigger mouth than I do. Trust me, she's put her fist in both of them.
Jax is funny because he's like, you know, he's like, I know that Kristen's just gonna go up to Tom Schwartz and be like, Tom, I know something, and he's totally right. She totally would be the type that would do that.
Yes,
I just like that Brittany. She's, you know, the way she just stumbles into telling the whole lie without thinking. She's like, well, I was just like, I was looking, there was a fly on the wall, and I thought, wow, I wish I could be a fly on the wall on something, and I like walls, and walls are nice because they remind me of houses, and I wish I could have a house someday. You know who's going to have a house someday? It's going to be Katie and Tom. And I thought, oh, God, they're getting married real soon. I wonder when his brothers are going to get there. Oh, I forgot to mention, his brothers are coming. I shouldn't have said that, should have I?
It's supposed to be a surprise. I'm sorry, guys.
I like that a little bit of L.A. is seeping into her because he goes, if this surprise gets ruined, I'll be crushed. And she's like, oh, calm down. You're at work. Kimsa. I was like, nice one. Nice one, spiritual Brittany.
Like, I learned that. Kimsa.
I don't even know what you're saying. Kimsa.
Kimsa.
Kumsa.
I think she's trying to like say like some spiritual end of yoga thing.
Oh, I Kumsa. Maybe like Kumsa, like the rest, like the French phrase, like that. I don't know.
You can't think too deeply on Brittany or your brain will start to melt in the cutest way possible.
Speaking of melting things, we then go over to Raquel's house up in Thousand Oaks. Raquel, as we may remember, is the Daffy girlfriend of James.
Needy beauty queen whore from up north. Santa Cruz or something.
Yeah.
And James brings sunflowers from Ralph's. He's like,
yeah,
here's some flowers, my lady's mama. And she's like, oh,
take
well,
a good look. Take a good look at these flowers before they die, little girls. Hey, girl, look at these flowers, girl.
Here's some sunflowers, me mama. And she's like, sunflowers are my favorite. He's like, I had no idea. Jeez, roll with it, James.
I know.
Jeez. He's like, they were cheaper than the cake. They were cheaper than the day-old cake in the Ralph's birthday section, so I purchased them.
And not even the full cake, one of those half cakes they sell. Sort of strange, very American. So then,
I would have bought roses, but I'm almost out of the allowance that Raquel gave me for the week. By the way, Raquel, may I?
And how's your father? And then the mom's like, oh, well, he's been up in Alaska looking for grizzly bears. And Raquel's like, oh, Mom, I'm starving right now. Wah.
What about Raquel's sister? I'm sorry, but this is Raquel's sister's face. That's how her face sounds. The whole scene, she's just like
that. It was paused on her face actually when my dad walked in and he said, "This is the face that launched a thousand boats," or whatever the expression is.
Your dad's like, "Kimsa,
Kimsa." My dad's like, "Does she know about the triplets?"
So James is trying to trick everybody into believing that he's so charming. He's like, Raquel's my queen, and Kristen's just like a hooker you fuck on the hood of your car in a car park.
I'm like, which you did, and you realize that you partook in that, by the way. You were in that mess.
True story AF. So then the family gets to asking him exciting questions about his busing career, which is what every girl wants. She brings
I know,
her they're... man, they're like, so how's busing tables?
Yeah, they're asking as if he's in law school. I'm like, so how's it going down there at Harvard? I meant busing tables at Sir. and he's like, oh, well, it's a little bit awkward, but you know, I got a little bit fired. And then they just do a flashback of him being crazy. And I just love that moment when he's drunk and he knocks his head back. He goes, Pumptini! That's like an amazing moment.
I kept getting into ... situations ...
Suck it, girlfriend!
Whatever he was doing.
And then just it ends. Girl.
It ends with, I got put in a headlock at some point, and the sister's like, "Seriously?" And he's like, "Seriously." But, you know, things are looking up.
I could not be more serious if I even tried.
Seriously AF. I got a new gig at a restaurant on Melrose. You know, it's a new place, residency, doctor, if you will. And it's put the important things in perspective, like Raquel and like you guys. You're like a family, and I love having a family. It means a lot to me. And then the violins start playing, and he's like, "It's been my summer of loss. My parents breaking up, leaving, sir."
Summer of loss.
And he starts coat crying. Oh, God.
And then, the mom, I mean, you could tell this whole family is so excited to just be on TV. They're like, "Well, we know that you're an awesome person. You treat Raquel like a princess, even when you do sleep with other waiters and waitresses or waitresses." That's her. Maybe waiters. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know with that one. He's the kind to be like, "I was drunk. Didn't count." You're not gay if you were drunk.
You're not gay if you're just lying in bed and he crawls into your bed and you don't even realize it. And then he's up in your ass and you haven't even woken up. You know, people do anything. Groupies. Groupies. So, you won't even believe the groupies I have at my new residency. It's this place called The Tube. I'm sorry. That's what we call it in London. Here it's called Subway. Subway. I'm a sandwich artist, but I'm also a DJ.
I can't bear the fans screaming anymore. "James, James, please, more water, more water."
When the groupies ask for avocado and I say, "That's a dollar extra, girl," and they say, "We'll take it anyway," I say, "Oh, you're such a naughty groupie."
So over at Tom and Katie's, they're packing shit for their wedding. And Tom's like, "Yeah, babe, look at this sexy-ass cake. I want to go American Pie style on this thing." Like, "Oh, great, can't wait to marry you." So Stassi comes over to help, and she's like, "You don't wear flip-flops when you're holding precious cargo like a cake, okay?"
Well, I don't think that cake was that precious, okay?
It was Intimates? Next to the sunflowers at Ralph's.
I mean, okay, so I don't want a cake shame, because I do believe that people spend too much money on their wedding cakes. I mean, you know, and no one even eats the thing. So I get why you do a small cake. But I also get this feeling like all the money in this wedding is going to the flowers and Wednesday wedding shit. And maybe if there was a little bit more money, they could have had a little bit of a nicer cake. I mean, it wasn't even a nice cake. It's that they had to put their wedding cake in dry ice and drive it 9 hours up to the wedding venue. I mean, what sort of rinky-dink operation is this for? This is your wedding cake. This isn't just like edibles for later at the cabin.
Yeah, they got a Ralph's and Big Bear. Like, yeah, you guys will be fine, you know? So back at Sir, someone, I think it's Brittany, they're like, "Sir, restaurant. Ladies, how are the goat cheese balls?"
Sir, I'm convinced. Sir. working. I'm convinced they put that in there for us. I am convinced.
"I've heard two little faggito burritos are spreading around a rumor that we've changed the bowls to empanadas." Fix it, editing. Fix it. So, speaking of brown things, Lala shows up in the smoking alley. Girl, Lala looks like a roasted chicken in the Whole Foods.
Poor Lala. She airbrushed herself. I'm like, "Lala, don't worry. They do that for you on TV and post. You don't have to do it."
No kidding. This is not the audition for Dreamgirls. Where are you?
She's on the Starlight Express. So she shows up and she encounters Ariana. And she's like, "Hey, I miss my mama, but I'm back here. So, hey." And Ariana's like, "If this is sketch comedy, you're not taking it very seriously."
She's
right,
like,
now.
"Am I the one not getting the game right now, or is it you?"
So Lala's like, "I missed you, man." I'm like, "Lala, you can't do that. You can't just walk up all airbrushed and just start acting as if you hadn't, you like didn't get to see her at brunch the other day."
Yeah, especially when you're like, "I've been so depressed. Like, I was with my mama, cuddled up with mama in a little mama ball," when you're actually showing up with a real tan. I mean, nobody in LA has a real damn tan. We know you've been out on some Saudi boat. Why are you lying?
Yeah. I was hoping that she'd be on Survivor. Like, maybe that explained where she was. But I watched the season premiere. She wasn't on it.
I need my mama. So,
I need my mini idol.
She's like, "There are so many things I want to say to Ariana, but I don't want to do it on the phone. So, you know, I'm going to do it in front of these trash cans in the smoking alley." Wanted to see how serious I am.
Yeah, no, that's whenever someone says that, whenever something is way overdue and someone says, well, I didn't want to do it over the phone, that's bullshit. It's 2017. You can talk on the phone.
Yeah, she wouldn't have even answered it anyway. Who answers their phone in 2017? You should have just done it with emojis like every other adult.
Yeah. And Lala's like, listen, you've always been a really good friend to me. And even when I need my mama, you've been such a good friend. And I know I'm very difficult. And you have to be really nice to want to hang out with me. And she starts crying. And Ariana's like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah, Ariana's like, yeah, I mean, I want to give her a chance. But, like, I mean, you can't just roll up like nothing happened. And then suddenly you're like brown. I'm like, what? Like, this changes everything.
But you know that
you're so tanned. Give me some of your tan.
But I didn't watch What Happens Live tonight, but they both were on it. And they both seemed very, very chummy. And I also feel like that bodes well for Lala, because if Lala is having her comeback episode, which is really her goodbye episode, and then she's appearing on Watch What Happens Live, it makes me think, you know, Bravo is behind Lala. That's what that says to me. And
yeah,
I'm
think Lala will be back for sure. Yeah, I think Lala will be back, because she was brought in as like the younger crew. So I think James and Lala will be back next year. And I predict that a couple of these old hags will be gone. Not you, Ariana, but like just the general cast. I think a couple of the oldies will be gone, because, I mean, how long can they continue? They're going to be 50 by the time this show's done shooting.
Yeah, they need to start bringing in a new generation. Well, we do have that other girl. The girl who couldn't remember the menu last week. I don't remember. Katie
yeah,
Malarkey.
Yeah, I'm guessing
or something
that
like
they're
that.
Gonna Katie bring O'Malley. In that Katie O'Malley.
Yeah, you gotta work on it. But yeah. Either way, so Lala's like, I'm coming in to officially let Lisa know I won't be hostessing here anymore. Thanks, Lala. Everyone was waiting with bated breath for that.
Well, stone the crows. Miss Kent is back.
Lala adopts her baby voice for Lisa. She's like, hi, Lisa.
What the hell happened to you, Lala?
I like that Lisa never has any gentle moment ever. She's like, listen up, little hoe. You're a little hoe, and that's the business, to get tossed around like a boat in the ocean. Then you get your little tuppence and you go on. All right, come to mama, hug me. Hug me.
Hug me. And remember, don't kill any albatrosses behind that boat. Otherwise, they'll be shipwrecked like the Ancient Mariner. My mama.
So she's like, hi, Lisa. Like, I just get in this mindset, and it's like my biggest flaw, and I like shut down. I just do what I want to do. And she's like,
it sounds like you're proud of this mindset.
She's like, no, but like what I'm saying is I own it, which is the wrong thing to say to Vanderpump.
Don't say that.
I mean, girl, you got Bravo?
Yeah.
Wrong thing.
Yeah, Lala is talking. I mean, when people talk about millennials, about the downside of millennials, this scene is sort of epitomizes all of it. This is the thing that everyone hates about millennials, so they claim. You know, that they're like, oh, I shut down. I just need to go back to my family. I just need to be with my family. And, you know, it doesn't matter. I suffer from such anxiety, and no pill can save me. Only my family can save me. And I'm like, I know people really do suffer from serious, serious anxiety. But when you suffer from serious anxiety, usually you need a pill. It's not just your family. Usually your family's what's causing it.
Usually people who have that much anxiety aren't on Snapchat all day. They're usually more nervous. But I'm still for Lala. So when she says she has anxiety, I'm like, okay, you have it. She's like, I just needed my mama and a really good suntan. And then, you know, that gives Lisa a chance to go into her.
After everything Ken and I have done for you, Lala.
Which is like her favorite thing to say, you know?
Yeah. And Lisa's like, we were screwed by Lala. But then when Lala says, one of her issues was that Lala just left and didn't say anything. And Lala's like, well, I don't think anybody is worth to hear about my life. I don't think anyone's worth anyone is at the level yet where they need to hear about my life. And Lisa's like, well, that's fine. Keep it private, but don't lie about it. And then this is when Lala's like, I suffer from anxiety. It's just a fact of life. And then as soon as she said that, that's when Lisa's bottom lip just curled down. It's like, broken bird, my favorite.
She tastes broken to me, darling.
Let me ask you this, Lala. How do you feel about having a mortifying sweater put around you and living at Villa Rosa? You can sit on my lap. I miss you.
Listen, how do you feel about this, Lala? Being called Snooky from now on.
How do you feel about me dyeing part of your hair a color that is totally inappropriate and then putting you in a tiny little blazer and just humiliating you on a daily basis with Ken?
How do you feel about Ken carrying you around the restaurant to say hello to fans?
Do you have any serious fears of swans?
I love when Lisa turns Sir into like this really difficult job. She's like,
Sir survived without you, before you, and after you.
I'm like, oh yeah, Sir, just, you know, fighting along, trying to, yes, you know, name those table numbers.
Do you know, Lala, that since you've been gone, we've introduced a cabbage soup? Do you? We did that without you.
Chef Joe overcame the odds when you were away. How do you feel about that, Lala?
And then Lisa's like,
her entire strategy is being young and pretty. That won't last. Now, Lala, you need to hook up an old slutty man with tons of money. Focus, darling.
Lala's like, so I guess I...
Still fired. Go. Go now. Go on.
But keep in touch.
Yeah.
See, that was the key. When she said keep in touch,
yeah,
that was the key. That means that I think there's hope for Lala.
Yeah, me too. Did you hear a buzz come on? Because I turned on a fan. It's kind of hot in here.
No, I did not. And don't taunt me with your heat. There's snowflakes coming down outside my window.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm coming back, LA. I swear I'll be back on Thursday.
Oh, so let's see.
So Tom and Katie are driving up to Tahoe, and Tom's like, yeah, you know, I love road trips because, you know, Katie drives. She insists that she drives, which I don't really have anything to say about that, actually. I just think it's sort of funny.
She won't let him drive. You should see her change of tire. Kristen and Carter, this is when Kristen and Carter are packing in their house, and she's like,
I didn't tell you about Schwartz's brothers. Ugh. They're coming. It's a surprise. I wasn't supposed to tell you. They're going to cry.
Like, why are you whispering?
She's like, now, Carter, idiot. I know that you're such a blabbermouth, always talking all the time. You're just going to have to keep your mouth shut just this one time.
And Carter's like, it's so exciting. Talking to the dog.
It's so exciting.
Oh, Carter, you're such a wuss.
He's like, listen, I had my one line about Sia, and that's it. I'm done. I'm set for the season.
Yeah, I'm not saying any more lines that you tell me to say to your ex-boyfriend in an elevator, you fucking freak. Now, will you pay for my lunch, yes or no?
So Katie and Tom see a bear on the side of the road, which is exciting, and then they arrive at this place, like the 20-mile house or something like that, and the guy who runs the place, Kevin, he sits down, Katie and Tom, and he shows them the bill. And he's like, and you just go through all these expenses, including an extra $10,000 for flowers, to which Katie just sheepishly turns to Tom and goes, sorry. I'm like, bitch, you are lucky you are still getting a ring on your finger at the end of all this.
Like, but it's our wedding, and I wanted it to be perfect, and I wanted certain things.
Well, enjoy your matzah wedding cake, because that's as big and as it is, a slice of matzah.
So is 50 grand a lot for a wedding? It doesn't seem like it's a lot.
I think it doesn't seem like a lot for TV. I think for other people it's a lot. I think it's a lot of money.
I mean, it's a lot
for a Wednesday wedding. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. And also, those cabins are kind of ghetto. Those aren't like nice. They're not like glamping, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like woodsy elegance. That shit, I don't know where all the money went to. I think because I feel like they also like rented out those cabins for everyone else. And, you know, I get it. Weddings can go up in
price. Well, it's all catering because he said $4,000 was for rehearsal dinner. And there was another $4,000 for the buffet. So that's eight. And then
eight right there.
Yeah.
$10,000 on the flowers. And then there was like another four or something for, there was something for like the cabins that they rented out. All I have to say is I feel like money was mismanaged.
Shocker. So Tom, Katie, cabin. Katie, I can't find my checkbook, but I can do like Venmo. Like, no, you can't. You can't Venmo somebody $30,000.
Yeah. I actually really felt bad for Tom Schwartz because he's like, $20,000, Bubba? That's the amount of debt I owe for my student loans. I could write this check and just be debt-free. But instead, I'm spending it on flowers and hors d'oeuvres. I was like, that does suck. That really sucks.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you get Katie. So then this Bill guy, the guy, I just call him Bill because he's asking for money. But this Bill guy just comes right on over. It's like, Jesus, breathe down my neck much?
Yeah.
And then Tom's like, you're expensive, babe, but I love you, and it was worth it. And he drinks some straight whiskey. Like, yeah. These two are going to be like, plastered okay. by the time they get married.
Listen, we'll be poor for a little bit, but it's fine. We'll just get by on iceberg lettuce.
So Stassi comes in pouting. She's like, I need a big hug. We lost our service for an hour, and Rachel and I, like, seriously, literally almost died AF.
Yeah.
She's like, we navigated by looking at stars. Weirdly enough, we found, like, a baby in a manger with three wise men around it. And they told us where you guys were.
And there was an albatross following us. She's like, we see a flashback to them in the car, and she's like, I can't die single. There are so many things I haven't done. I've never had a threesome.
And then the best part is that no one cared.
Yeah, she's like, it was an experience, and no one cared. They cared more about the bear that Katie saw.
So in the morning, they're cooking, and Kristen's like, that literally smells like anus.
Is awful. Literally smells like it. Seriously, anus? Seriously, you can serve me anus?
That smells seriously, literally, like literal anus. Seriously, AF.
Are you cooking pork butt? Because that's like anus smelling. Seriously.
So this is when we find out none of Schwartz's family is coming, which is so sad. His dad can't come because he's Lala, apparently.
Yeah,
his dad
he's scared
has anxiety.
Of
And then the brothers are poor, and the sister has to work. Poor Tom.
Yeah, I feel actually really bad. I actually feel like I understand him more, which is that he's probably spent his whole life going, okay, well, that's fine, and quietly resenting everyone until he snaps when he gets really drunk. Makes sense. Now I know why he's with Katie.
Yeah. Literally smells like anus. It just felt like a good way to end that. So
yeah.
Jackson Britt, speaking of smelling literally like anus, Jackson Britt are getting ready. And Jax is really excited about this, like, brother thing for whatever reason. But he does not trust that they're going to make it. Jax is kind of like the psychic of this episode. He knows they ain't coming.
Yeah. Well, especially because there's already been one bad omen, which is that Tom Sandoval missed his flight out of Burbank because he had to go back home because he left his suit, which is pretty shocking that Tom Sandoval would leave a suit behind. So he missed his flight. So that already does not bode well.
Yeah. So Sheena and Shay, this is a pretty sad scene.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my god, I'm so excited. And Kristen asked if there's anything like specific that you need. Meaning like Diet Coke, you know, like what can we get him? And he's like, like I have like no desire to drink and party, so
he's like, I'm over everyone. She's like, oh, okay. Hey, how's this look? He's like, what is that? He's like, it's a jumpsuit. He's like, I don't know what half the things are. They're in the laundry pile.
Yeah, I do your laundry, and half the things, I don't even know what they are. He hates her so much. She's like, are you going to go tubing with us? He's like, as long as I can hang myself with a fucking tube.
Oh, that sounds fun.
So meanwhile, Lisa Vanderpump arrives in Tahoe on a private plane with Ken and also Pandy and husband of Pandy. And they check in at this hotel, and the gay at the hotel is so excited to be checking Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh my God,
is so
he is
thrilled.
Falling all over himself. And she's pulling out all her old lines for the gay guys, like the gay fans.
She
she's like, where's the nearest Chanel gay person? He's like, oh my God, you're fabulous.
Will there be diamonds nearby? Oh my God.
Is there a pool filled with champagne, homosexual person?
She's so fabulous.
Everything. You're everything.
Now let's go into this cabin, this wood cabin. I'll see if anyone's getting wood in this cabin. Am I right, gay friend?
I like when he goes, okay, you guys are in the terrace suite, and that's next door in the terrace suite building. Way to make him feel special, buddy.
That's so funny. Did you say terrace suite or terrace suite? Oh, Lisa Vanderpump, you are incorrigible.
He's like, would you like to go hiking? She's like,
The last time I went hiking, it was at Neiman Marcus. Darling little homo.
He's like, oh.
I mean, she's really going for all the low. Really. Would you like a key for your room?
The last time I needed a key was when I had special access to Bloomingdale's. Oh.
He was like so excited. That was so cute. She gets to the room and she's like,
it's better not be a hell. Oh, this is lovely. It's different to other rooms I've stayed in, but even if you're in a bloody treehouse, you shut up and deal with it. It's all about the ride. Oh, look, she got me pink towels, so that was nice.
Poor Katie. Yeah. Poor
Harrison, Katie. Get on the bed. Go to sleep.
Poor Katie probably put more effort into that than anything.
That's where the budget went, getting Lisa Vanderpump's room.
Yeah, that was the other $30,000.
It's a Wednesday wedding, and this is the best they could find. You can't be telling me the presidential suite is booked tonight.
Obama's here.
So she's Ken is like leaning back on the couch, you know, just kind of rubbing his belly. And she's next to him talking, and she's like,
"Darling, can you believe it's happening? It is, and I'm bloody ordaining it."
And he's like, "Well, I've seen him chicken out before, darling. Like, it'll be sangria. And then that time he was bartending at pump, I've seen him chicken out. I wouldn't be so sure it's happening."
She's like, "Don't say it, Ken. He would never do this. Bartending is different than running out on a shift at Sir."
And he's like, "Yes, marriage is much harder." It's like, wow. Okay, Buddha Ken.
At that, which point Lisa Vanderpump then looked at her room key and said, "Make it sexier."
"Don't think you're getting any action just because we're in a hotel room."
And then the gaze down on the bottom floor like,
"You are so fabulous."
So then back at the campsite, the rest of the gang shows up, you know, Sheena, Shay, Ariana, etc. Not Tom, because he missed his flight. And this is when we find out that those triplets, for whatever reason, they missed their flight. And now Jax is starting to freak out. He's like, I have to call Sandoval.
Well, what's he going to do? What the hell is he going
to
do?
He had nothing. It probably had nothing to do with the twins. He just had like a fashion question. I got a stain.
Next week is the big wedding,
Yeah, big wedding. But interestingly enough, it's not the season finale. It doesn't look like it looks like you're going to have two episodes of wedding. It looks like next week is going to be tubing and stuff. And then I'm sure it's going to leave off like right before the wedding. And the episode after that will be the wedding. I'm a little concerned that next week may be a little bit of a dud episode, though. It didn't look that.
They haven't had one yet this season.
It's been a great season.
Have they? I don't think they have. But yeah, we'll be here for that. I mean, it'll be a dud marriage, but you know. We can only predict wedding. So much, okay, in one episode.
Dud cake experience.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening. This has been a fun late night. We will talk to you tomorrow for the Summer House season finale.
No, you're wrong.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills, darling.
Thursday is Summer House.
Yes. Lisa Rinna gets some special powers on this week's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which we will discuss tomorrow. Talk to you then, everybody.
Bye.
Boing.